This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 21st, 2014, the fourth Sunday in Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That passage is replete, or has a boatload, to use a colloquial term, of theology in it. But as opposed to getting real theological about it today, I want to sort of emphasize the practicality of the whole response of the Blessed Virgin Mary to the Annunciation. And I don't want to talk about the Annunciation too much, but I want to talk about our response. Because if we formulate our response to the annunciations that we get, and we do get them, you receive an annunciation, if we respond as the Blessed Virgin did, it will go well with you. It will go well because you will exhibit the commitment, the faith, and obedience that she exhibited. And I don't want to talk a whole lot about the annunciation in and of itself, but you have to set sort of the foundation of the way this works. The annunciation. An angel appears to this young girl, 14, 15, 16 years old, maybe, very young, betrothed but not married. You got to understand her cultural milieu. She is a part of a people who have, for millennia, the mothers have prayed that their daughters may be the one through whom the Messiah will come. And here's this young girl, and an angel appears to her, disconcerting at best, I'm sure, if you're 15-ish years old, and you're told that you are going to be the mother of the Messiah. That is the Annunciation. This angel appears to her, Hail, full of grace, or Hail, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. To understand the overwhelming nature of this whole event must have been to this young girl. We can't appreciate that. Not many of us, I would hazard to guess, very few of us ever seeing epiphanies or visions of angels. But I mean, this is where she finds herself. And not only does he give her this greeting, he sort of pans out what's going to happen for her. You will conceive. He will be great. He will reign forever. Undoubtedly, speaking of the Messiah, she has got to be reeling. It is truly the gospel message. That is the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is that our Lord Jesus Christ took on flesh and lived a sinless life because we cannot. That's grace. He had to live a sinless life because we cannot. He earned our way into heaven because we cannot. That is the grace that our Lord Jesus Christ shows us. That is the gospel. So this is where we want to change gears a little bit and kind of practically apply this to ourselves. As I said, we all get an annunciation because we are all confronted with the presentation of the gospel. And the crux of the matter today is how do you respond to that? What is your response to this gospel that an angel brings you? An angel has never appeared to me. There is an ontological title of angel, but if angel is really a term of function. An angel is someone who brings a message. Angels are messengers of God. They bring the gospel. So, in a sense, anyone who's ever presented the gospel to you, hopefully that's every homily you've heard, every time someone has, in a Bible study, wherever it may be, whenever the gospel is presented to you, that is in some way, shape, or form an annunciation. And just as the Blessed Virgin Mary had to respond, you too have to respond. because you get an annunciation. And as I said, if you look at the way the Blessed Virgin responds, there's sort of a formula to it. And you can't go wrong if this is the formula that you use when you're confronted with the gospel. The Blessed Mother's annunciation is very, very pointed in time. It's very quick, the annunciation, the response. Ours is not generally 99.9% like that. We don't, you know, we don't get the, as I said, the epiphany, and then all of a sudden we have to make it. Ours is, it can be our entire, it is our entire Catholic life, how we are responding to these annunciations that we get of the gospel. But the formula that Mary uses, and it's very interesting to look at it, is the first and foremost, she listens attentively. The angel appears to her, she really doesn't say anything. She listens very attentively. As a matter of fact, she's very disconcerted about this whole thing. It says in the gospel, she was greatly troubled at the saying, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." That's probably a gross understatement. She was greatly troubled at this saying. And think about it. Again, 15 years old, not married. Hey, you're going to have a baby and it's going to be God. I mean, that's in a nutshell, but that's what the angel presented to her. So she had to respond in some way. She listens attentively initially, which all we should all do, which most of you do. I don't see a whole lot of intentional head nodding. Nobody lays down on the pew. Most people listen attentively. They don't snore out loud. They listen attentively to the gospel. Okay? That's good. You're doing what the Blessed Mother did. She listened attentively. But, and this is not being pejorative to the Blessed Mother at all, she's a 15-year-old Hebrew girl. Do you really think she got what was going on? She listens attentively, and then she ponders what she didn't understand. And she ponders, she thinks about things. It's good to think about things of your faith. Again, put yourself more in her shoes. Not seeing an angel, but your Christian Catholic life. Every time you do you ponder some things of your faith? I hope you do. I hope you're not sitting there thinking, oh, I've been a Catholic all my life. I get it. Really? I don't. Yeah, there's a lot going on, 2,000 years of church tradition, catechisms, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not going to get everything. You know? Height of arrogance to think we do. But the Blessed Mother, again, 15 years old, gets in there, so she's pondering what she doesn't really understand, and then she does something that a lot of people, I hear this frequently. I know I shouldn't ask why God does the things he does, or I shouldn't ask, why not? The last time I looked, our Blessed Savior, one of the last things he said, hanging on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was the second person of the Trinity. And he said why. So we in our frailty, I'm sure, are given license to ask why on occasion. The Blessed Mother just does that. She asks about what she doesn't know. You know, because he's put out the plan, you will conceive, he will be great, he will reign forever. And then she asks in humility, how can this be? I have no husband. Her response is not like Zachary's was, for instance, when the angel announced the coming of John the Baptist. He questioned in a manner that was not appropriate. He questioned to the point where the consequence for his questioning was, you're going to be struck mute until the child's born. You know, you got a lot of questions here. Keep them to yourself for a while. And he's not able to speak until the child's born. Our Blessed Mother doesn't do that. She doesn't respond like that, but she asks a question, and asking questions are absolutely legitimate about your faith. That's why God gave you deacons, priests, professors, bishops, to answer your questions. People that have been in the faith a lot longer than you. That's what God has given you, to answer your question, and you should ask them. Our Blessed Mother did. Again, if you do that, you won't go wrong if you ask about things that you don't get. But she asked this question, and it's presented to her, but how can this happen? I don't have a husband. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And that which will be conceived in your womb will be called holy, the Son of God. Again, I keep harping on it, but I want you to understand. She's a 15-year-old girl. Do you think she really got, oh, I get it. I understand how this is going to happen. Probably not. Okay, she didn't get it. But guess what? She responded anyway. Because in her response, she realized the disproportion between what she was and what she was to become. She was a 15-year-old Jewish girl, but she was to become the mother of God. Theotokos, the God-bearer. God Almighty was going to take flesh from her and redeem the entire world. Again, you think she got that? No. But she did appreciate the disproportion between herself and God. That's what we need to do. It is truly unfortunate in our day and age, even some authorities in the church, they make it sound like God's your buddy. He's the old teddy bear up there. He's just up there for you to ask for things and you get it. Like Santa Claus. All right? God is not Santa Claus. God is God. We are not. We have to understand the disproportion between He and us. And we have to react accordingly. Just as the Blessed Virgin did. She learned God's plan and she yielded unreservedly in prompt obedience to what His plan was. That's the response He wants from each and every one of us to the gospel that we are presented every time we come to Mass. Every time you read the Bible, there has to be a response. There's got to be a prompt response. It's got to be a response of commitment. When the Blessed Virgin Mary gave her fiat, it wasn't like, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You're going to conceive God, and He's going to be born, and then you can just live your life." No. Things were ever changed. When she says, "Be it unto me according to thy word," it's a permanent commitment. She will from henceforth be the mother of God. God will always be there with her, and that is all-consuming in her life. That is the way the gospel is for us. We do not have the vocation of bringing the Messiah. That was once for all. That was a singular thing. Okay? That is not for us. However, our commitment is permanent. It is not a suggestion, it is a demand. No matter what your vocation may be, everything that you do in life, where you work, where you live, to whom you speak, on the street, in stores, wherever, is an opportunity to grow closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, and to understand more about how He works in this world. It is a life commitment, and it's not a suggestion. It is a command of us. We need to respond the way the Blessed Mother responded, in commitment. In a couple minutes, we're going to have some baptisms today. That is a manifestation in this world of commitment. Do you think the folks that are going to be baptized are those who are going to answer for them in their capacity? Know everything about the Catholic faith? Probably not. As I said, I don't. I hope you don't think they do. But guess what? They're responding because of a commitment. Because God says, you must be baptized of water and the Holy Spirit or you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So, they are committed to doing what our Lord Jesus Christ said to do. There are two people that are going to be confirmed in the upcoming Christmas Masses. How glorious is that? Same thing, a manifestation of permanent commitment. Because becoming a Catholic is a permanent commitment. So always drive that home to people in confirmation. If there's anything that they learn when they walk out of the altar, the only thing I care that they remember is the fact that what they're doing is indelible. It does not change. You're confirmed a Catholic, and guess what? I always love to hear from people. Oh, I used to be a Catholic. You still are. I love the look on their face when I say that. Because that's the way it works. You're confirmed a Catholic, you are a Catholic forever, and God will treat you as that. You can stay away from Mass and hate the church and hate the Pope and everything else, but guess what? You're still a Catholic, and you're going to still be treated as such. And that's what He demands of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.